The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
The Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7, and go out to motivationmuscle.com. By the way, it is the 8th of November 2016, if you can believe it. Go out and download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle in our 30-day workout program. Both ebooks, both top 10 ways has been totally revamped. Every paragraph now is 5 bullet points to it, and the 30-day program, which is something you can expand upon and upon and upon. Basically, it was the first time I took a conventional lift. We used a squat and the bench, and we used the power rack with it too. You know, you're going to be able to squat from the very top, where you would just basically stand up maybe 2 inches with an overload on your spine. And then with the bench, it's going to be a lockout. Now, in the middle of the week, you're going to do sandbag work, which is a great way to break things up, excuse me, and build a ton of endurance. And I also give you the one routine I use to become a pretty damn good stone lifter and a great way to get you in shape. So go out and check those out. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. I got our good friend Steven Santangelo, who's on here, who has been very generous to me, not only with some of his homemade concoctions, he and his wife have both done, but with the greens and the minerals and the fall winter blend. You got to go out and look at his stuff. You can contact him. He'll give you how to do that when he comes on momentarily. Especially with the bad weather coming, and if you live especially in the Northeast or anywhere where you're getting flooded with colds and snow, I would highly recommend that. So we'll get into that a little bit when we bring Steven in here. But as I said, when you go out there, just look at all the material the shows Steven and I have done. We got a vault out there with information like nobody. And I really implore you to go and look at it. I'm telling you right now, you'll love the stuff. I did a show the other day we put up with my buddy Ned Norton, who ran a gym here called the Steel Pier. At one time, it was the Primo Gym, but wrong people got in it and destroyed it. And I have some of the equipment from there, which is pretty incredible here. And Ned and I were talking about stuff like that. I mean, if you listen to the show, you'll laugh, because we were laughing through probably a third of the show talking about the blender fire I had here and the protein tablets and all that. Just good stuff. Good stuff to make you think and want to do some things and have a good time doing it. So you can check that out. Also, too, I'm trying to think. Is there anything else I got to add to that? No, but before I bring Steven in, I've been reading this paragraph from John Wooden, who, in my opinion, was one of the greatest college basketball coaches, but he was a man of might. And I'm going to read something I've been hammering on, and we're going to get into other things, too. In 17, we're going to start doing some book reviews and getting in. We've done it before, and the people, our family loves it. I mean, we start recommending books. We want to get everybody thoroughly involved. Now, this is called The Opinion of Others, and it's from Wooden, and it's Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. It's got so many great passages he wrote in here, and it goes like this. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often, we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And as my dad would say, and I say it on every show, be a leader, not a follower. I'm going to give you some information on Steven. I think that passage is very self-explanatory, and I think in the day and age we're living in right now, We all need to be reminded of things like that, and we're going to keep doing that. But let's talk about Steven here. Number one, strength athlete. He's an organic farmer and strongman, and he still competes in the long-standing tradition of old-time weightlifting. Steven, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you, sir.
Yes, thanks very much, Eric. Always a great pleasure to be here and always a lot of fun.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Go out, you know, I want you to talk about the formulas, if you would, please, how people can get a hold of you. And before you start, we are going to talk about winter training. And if you've gone out on Facebook and looked at some of the stuff Steven does, it's incredible stuff. And here in the Northeast, we already got snow. We are going to get pounded, believe me. So, Steven, let's talk a little bit about the formulas and what you think, you know, people would be a good time of the year now to get on and stay on the stuff. But take it away.
Sure. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, I've been involved with nutrition since the 70s when I started, well, after college, and I started competing and training as a competitive bodybuilder. And, you know, in the early years, we really didn't know much about nutrition. We just took the word of the producers, the brands and whatnot. But over the decades, I've learned a lot. I got to meet a lot of excellent people that were truly concerned about developing supplements. You know, these were chemists, these were scientists, these were people who were embedded in not just the nutritional aspect of it, but food as a whole. And one of the greatest influences I had was a fellow back in 1979. I'm still good friends with him. He's based out of Southern California. And he had really made an impact on me about the difference between a supplement and a whole food product. And I took that information and I ran with it. And, you know, here it is 40 some years later. And I do have my own products. I do consider them as whole food products, not supplements. And it is a huge difference because, as the name indicates, a whole food contains all of the nutrients. They have not been tampered with. They have not been treated. It's not broken down. It's not isolated. It's the real deal. Basically, it's a whole food where the moisture has been taken out, but it's different than dehydrated food. It is in a powder form. It is in a form that is nearly 100% bioavailable. And the fact that it is pure, there are absolutely no fillers whatsoever. Your average supplement right now on the market will have anywhere from 6 to 8% to as high as 50% filler.
Mm-hmm.
And those fillers are basically starch. It's just cheap starch that they use, that they throw it in. And I've made it a point to never have any of that in. I do not use a third party, so you're getting the real deal straight from me. And I could talk the talk, but I tell everyone, don't take my word for it. After 3 to 4 weeks on it, you have a blood test, and you're going to see your blood profile already changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean just little bits and pieces. I'm talking about big-time noticeable differences. And, of course, it's all in a very positive way. And one thing that I emphasize to all my clients, we have talked about this extensively, is eating seasonally. There's a reason why certain vegetables and fruits grow at certain times of the year, why certain plants grow at certain times of the year. Well, that's the way my whole food products are based. So during the spring, summer, our body requirements are very, very different than what we need in the fall, winter. Mm-hmm. And since we're going to be talking about winter training, nutrition for the fall, winter is a very important aspect of optimizing your winter training. And especially for those of us that live in the upper half of the northern hemisphere, we deal with a true winter.
Yep.
Someone along the equatorial line isn't going to have the same impact with my fall winter formula as we would, because we're dealing with those ambient temperatures, which have a great influence and influx on the way our system works and organs that are very specific to working at their peak during mm-hmm. certain times of the year. So we will start with the winter training. There are four aspects of it: nutrition, warm-up, adaptation, training, and, of course, the winter layering rules. Now, with the winter layering rules, I'm just going to lightly touch on this just as a recap.
Okay.
But this is very important for all of us. We all know that we've got to have three layers. You know, the base layer, which is against our skin, the insulating layer, which protects us from the cold, and then the shell layer, the outer layer, which shields us from the wind and the rain. Now, depending upon your activity, if you're going to be out running, you know, 5-6 miles or some cross-country skiing, obviously your layering is going to be different than the type of training you're going to do. You're going to be picking up heavy stones. You're going to be moving from point A to point B in a short amount of time. It's going to be very anaerobic.
Yep.
So with the clothing, you have to be very well-informed, educated on the, especially the outer layer and the insulating layer. Now, there's a lot on the net that, you know, you could look up. You get some great details, great advice. So I really don't want to duplicate that. But just to make it a point, understand what your activity is and understand the importance of the base layer, the insulating layer, and the shell layer. Because that is going to protect our body from the ambient temperatures in order for us to maximize our metabolism, metabolic rate during this time of year. Enough said on that. The next part, warm up and adaptation. Now, you do a lot of your training outside, so you're already, in a sense, adapted to the changes. As you know, with the type of lifestyle we have, I'm outside all the time.
Right.
And I love training outside. I'm very much an outdoor athlete, whether I'm out running through the hills for 3 or 4 miles or whether I'm lifting heavy. You know, I'm used to it. However, we still have to understand that overall our living is indoors. So the first couple of weeks when winter starts coming on, we want to gradually do the transition. So start with our basic warm-up indoors, get our body temperature up, our respiration temperature up, and get the perspiration going, get the organs warmed up. So when we go outside, we're able to complete the second half of our warm-up, and that prepares the body 100% to start doing the actual training. Now, we were speaking earlier before we came on the difference between being 24 and being 60.
Yep.
At 64, my adaptation takes a little bit longer than it did at 24. Mm-hmm. And at 24, I'm a little bit more cocky, and I'm not even thinking of it because I think I've got so many hormones that are ready to be unleashed. I just go in and do it. Well, our body hasn't, at age 24, our body hasn't been around that long. We haven't put on that many miles to where we need to go through this adaptation phase. But over the decades, I have learned there are certain things that we must do. So my warm-up inside is considerably longer than it would have been several years ago, and then my warm-up outside is considerably longer. The important part of it, regardless of your age, regardless of your activity, is have your body ready 100% to lift, to run, to cross-country ski, whatever it is. And you know me, I have been a big proponent on warm-ups. There are times when my warm-ups are longer than the actual workout. But when I'm ready to work out, I don't have to mess around with all these little 20-pound weights and,
yeah,
you know, doing this. Then I do another set. I add 5 pounds, and I do another set. Well, at 3 sets, I've got 30 pounds on the bar. What have I done? Nothing but really fatigue the muscle and the system. No, when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. Not that I'm putting 100% max weight on, but I could start at 80% and I'm ready and I'm good. I don't have to worry about hurting myself or exhausting my ATP level or my CNS. That's why I emphasize warm-up. So the adaptation period, usually for the average guy, well, actually, you know, you and I are not average. There's nothing average about us.
Right.
So, but usually it will take us about 2 weeks to fully adapt from indoors to outdoors. And the important part of this is when, or a key point is, if your lungs are still hurting and you get a dry cough for several hours after you've been working out in the cold, it means you have not adapted yet. Right. So you got to pull it back a few steps. Do more of a warm-up, be a bit more gentle when you're outside, and then you'll get to the point where you don't have that burning sensation and you have that heavy breathing going on. You're lifting heavy. You know, you're throwing heavy. You're just going all out,
yep.
And your lungs feel great. So, you know, that is a key point to understand. What is this adaptation period going to be? It takes patience. As you and I know, it's in our genetic code that we do not have patience.
Nope.
And that's going to be with us, you know, forever. But at least we get a little bit smarter and we learn to take it a little bit slower. But once we get past that point, we say, man, patience is out the door and we're jamming, we're going. We don't care how cold it is. We don't care if the snow's coming down, if golf ball size hail is coming down. Focus, you know, on what we're doing.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you this. I've had some of my best workouts when the snow was falling down so hard and you're walking with those stones. We'll usually use the Hoosa Steels because I think I've told you my whole yard and driveway have got floodlights, motion lights. So when we train at night, it looks like daylight out there. But, you know, the most fun is when the wind's whipping a little bit and the snow's coming down and you're carrying this thing. And by that point, maybe the snow's up to, I don't know, mid-shin, and you're traipsing through the powder, and your body, your shirts are kind of freezing to the steel stones. I don't wear gloves because it's too hard for me to do that. They feel slippery. I know you can get webbing, like, in them to hold it. It doesn't feel right to my hands with that. And I don't, once I put the stone down, obviously I warm my hands well. But,
sure.
But I'll tell you this. I can't tell you how many great, whether it was single or my brother-in-law here, where we've had some of the greatest lifts, especially in the snow when we're carrying, and we'll purposely carry that night whether we're scheduled to or not. That makes it even more fun to see if you're back from recovery from what you've been doing. And, you know, I can tell you, obviously, there's been times when you couldn't even hold the thing and you dump it out in front of you and nothing gets hurt. It just lands in the snow. But I will say this. This is something Dan and I always say. That's my brother-in-law. We always kind of chuckle about this, Stephen. We'll say like this when we start. You know, like, while the rest of the world's staying in, hunkering down nice and warm, we're out here, man, having the time of our life. And see, that's how, you know, especially when things are rough in the winter, when you got that cold. Don't let anybody kid you. That's a developed trait. You got to love to do that. It is genetically coded in us. I know that. But I'll tell you what, it's like anything that can cause a lot of pain. You got to really like to do it. And I love to do it because, which is funny, because being an Italian, you would think that I love warm climate. I do to a point. But if you gave me choice between rough and cold or moderate warm and whatever you want to add to that, I take the rough and cold. That's just me. I like cold weather. I like cool weather. I love the early part of fall, like right now especially. You know, you go out and your lungs, man, they open right up and you know, you're not sweating. You know, you sweat, but it's not like humidity and all that. It's just, it's a feeling of well-being when we for me, when I train in the winter, the start, you know. And then, obviously, you got to be very creative because you sure as hell don't want to fall down when you're carrying stuff. So it creates a whole nother area within you and the brain where, you know what? Now we got to become a little bit inventive here. What do we put on our feet? What do I wear? Because I find even wearing a flannel shirt at times, I don't know why it happens. When it gets very cold, the sleeves can be, believe it or not, the sleeves can be very slippery, if you can believe that. Anybody that's ever done stone lifting in sub-zero weather and tells me that doesn't happen, then I don't know where I'm buying the wrong shirts, because it's not been one, it's been 10, all right? Now what I'll do, Steven, a lot of times, which I know sounds nuts, I'll have a shirt right down to my elbow with a pair of sleeves on, because I wear a sleeve over the bicep that got injured that time just to keep it tight and warm, and I'll tape from the wrist up to about midpoint in the forearm, and guess what? I'm out there bare on that part of the arms, not extremely warm, and nothing on the fingers other than some tape, and the stone doesn't slip. It hurts like hell, man. It hurts. But you know what? Yeah. It's like anything. You get used to it. You lick your wounds. You got your bruises. I got my battle scars to the next time. What I wanted to ask you, though, which is very interesting, because we kind of talked a little bit about how you got to put yourself in a mental zone with stuff like that. What have you found over the years? I mean, you, like myself, love being out in it. It doesn't matter. I'll just speak on my end, and then you can answer however you like. It was adaptive, like everything we're talking about, whether it's, you know, the formulas we drink from you, or the foods we eat, or the clothing we wear, and this, that, and the other thing. But this is something that grows with you, that you know, it's almost like, I'll say, it's almost like planting a garden. You've got to develop this sense of being able to go out in extreme weather, maybe even when you don't feel like it. I mean, you know, right now it's getting dark real early because of the time change here. So basically, you know, by 4:30, it's going to be dark at my house, which is a half hour away. You know, you're going out into a lot of elements most people don't want to face. So what is it you felt you had to acquire initially to get yourself, and we're talking going back way back when, in the early stage, excuse me, in the early stages, what do you feel you had to acquire to do this?
Boy, you know, a lot of people ask that question, and my answer is usually pretty much the same.
Yep.
As a very young child, growing up in Southern California, okay, Southern California was very different back in the 50s and early 60s. It was very outdoorsy. There was country all over. There were farmlands all over. So I was pretty much born in the open air.
Yep.
And, you know, it's only in the early 70s when California started booming, and basically it's nothing more than a big metropolis now. And that feeling I always loved. I always enjoyed being outside. I loved the change of seasons. And Jack Lane, I've mentioned this before, you know, yep, he was a big inspiration for me. I used to watch him on black and white TV. And in the late 50s, I remember I was 6 years old. I remember it so clearly. And I told my mother, I said, man, I'd like to be like him when I grow up.
Yep.
And little did I know that I would eventually meet him.
Wow.
Get my first personal certification under him in 1979. And here I am, 64 years old, and still doing what I love to do. And the key point I guess I'm really getting at is I wanted to do something that no one else was doing.
Yep.
You know, because people ask me, why do you do that? And I always say, because no one else is.
Yeah.
And my training has led me down that path. And as you know, and many of my Facebook friends know, and some of your listeners know that, you know, I worked with special forces and military.
Yep.
And we did training in Death Valley, the outskirts of Death Valley during the summer. So we're dealing with, you know, temperatures in excess of 120 degrees, virtually no humidity. During the winter, we do the high altitude training in the snow. You know, we're talking about 8,000, 10,000 feet.
Mm.
And I absolutely love it. And it's a challenge. You know, there is such a powerful mental and emotional challenge. And a lot of guys will say, yeah, you know, but I'm a competitive power lifter. I challenge the weight too.
Yeah.
Yes. See, that challenge is time restricted.
Yep.
Okay. When you're out in the wild, there is no time restriction. You are battling it 24/7, whether you're lifting, dragging, moving, you know, whatever it is. And as soon as you put the weight down, well, you are still challenging the elements. So there is that aspect of mental and emotional and even spiritual drive that you have to have. If that is not within you, you're not going to do very well with the kind of training we do outdoors.
Right.
And that's about the best way I could answer that, Eric.
No, that makes sense to me. I mean, you know, obviously the outdoors has been a great host to you. I mean, this is something that I've been really kind of laying the mitt on a lot too. And it's been going on with me for like the last few weeks. You know, I think what really set it off when I talked to Ned the other night, because Ned's older than me, but we go back to the lifting when we were at the Steel Pier was the only place that even matches it is here. And I got thinking, especially when we were talking on that show, but prior to that too, I was like, you know, and I think a lot of people do this and maybe don't even think about it. And I'll pose this question to you too, because it goes with what we're talking about, you know, as far as, you know, why do you like the cold, et cetera, et cetera. At times, you know, you have to be very serious about things. You have deadlines. You have to survive in business, et cetera, et cetera. Same way in the weight room. You know, the last 7 years, I've been so driven with Husafell, you know, and after I got hurt there, I never had anything like that. You know, with the opening of the business, it hasn't allowed me to get there much earlier. We went in 11. We were lucky we walked out of there with our lives. Et cetera, et cetera. And I've been so hell-bent on getting back there because it's something that I can't get out of my head. It engages me every day. And, you know, we've had the good fortune of meeting now. I got to think of his name. Martin Janzik from Scotland. Incredible, probably one of the greatest stone lifters in the world. And I've had the good fortune of really friending him. And, you know, we talk offline, and he's going to be on the show Friday. And he made an offer to me before I even thought of this. He goes, why don't you come over next year? And I've talked to Steve, and he's aware of some of the stuff that we've talked about with this tour. I'll take you to every famous stone. We'll meet in Iceland because I'd like to see what the deal is and lift the Husafell. And then we'll go over to places in Scotland that you've never even heard of to lift stones. And now we've talked about going to Wales too. So.
Yeah. And,
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
On that.
Well, you know what it is, Steve? And this is the point of the thing. And this is what I want to get your comment on is this. And I'm going to, you know, one way or the other, I'm getting over there next year. It's going to happen no matter what. But I got thinking about something. Why have I, and I think we all do it, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but I've kind of lost at times, I feel, the fun of it. Like, I've made things so serious out there at times that I forgot the reason why I got into it among a number of things. And you know what it was? It was just the joy of going out there and lifting weights. Now, everything has got a purpose with me, it seems like, and a goal. But sometimes it's just nice to go out there and say, you know what? I got no plan today. I don't want a plan today. Maybe I want to go out and just do pretty things like do arms for no apparent reason. Maybe I want to sit there and do neck work until my neck falls off. What I'm saying is, and I've been trying to put this together totally with me now, is you know what? You need to not only go and do this, but you need to enjoy it and fulfill it, all right? It's when you, I think, and I'm the harshest critic on myself, and I push myself harder than probably anybody would. I'll tell you what. I've said this before, and you know, coming from an Italian family, my father was the toughest guy I've ever met. I mean, and I'm not saying it because it was my father, but I'm talking as far as putting the heat on me.
Yeah.
My father was big military, like my grandfather. I mean, I know my mother used to get really pissed at the both of them. They thought that at times they maybe went a little bit too far. Maybe yes, maybe no. It was never anything to hurt me. Yeah. But I look at it this, and I look at everything. If my father couldn't break me, nothing's going to break me, because he could. I'm telling you, he was a good, good man, a good, good father, and someone that I loved to death. But he was tough nuts, man. He was hard love. You knew you loved him, and you knew, God help anybody if they ever touched his kids. He might not tell you he loved you every 5 seconds, but man, there was never a day I was ever afraid of, you know, not coming home and finding him, or not having my protector as a kid. Those are important things that you grow up to know you had that. Those shape a man and a woman. And that's why I say he was the harshest critic. I say that all the time on the show. I wish my dad was alive personally right here listening to the show I'm doing here with you. Why? Because when they talk about the consigliere with the head of the Cosa Nostra, like when you watch the Corleone and Tom Hagen was the consigliere, that's how, yeah, my father would be with me right now. And whatever my father said to me, whether I agreed with it or not, I'd respect it and take it in counsel. And one thing which is more important to me than anything is that you can talk to somebody, no matter what it is, and they keep their damn trap shut. All right? We don't live in a world like that anymore with people. You'll hear people, don't say anything. Well, how do you know I'm not going to, which I wouldn't anyways, because if I give you my word is gold. My word is still good. It will never change. But one thing I learned this from my pop, never say anything to anybody you don't want repeated. Okay, so go ahead, take it. I know I laid a lot on, but the gist of this is the fun of what we do, the fun of going out in sub-zero weather, the fun of learning how to eat, the fun of dressing right, whether you do it or not, or you go out like me and freeze a stone to my chest because I want to be a Viking and tear the skin off to get it off, or have a bar when it's so cold in the garage, you do a front squat. Yeah, it comes off, but it sticks to my throat. When people say you're out of your mind, yeah, I know. I am out of my mind. But you know why I'm out of my mind? Because I love it so much, I do things like that. And sometimes it's not even thought out. I just react. So take it, Stephen.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. A lot has to do with how we're raised and what we're taught. We're taught responsibility. We're taught respect, as you have mentioned.
Yep.
And we are especially taught that failure happens, but that doesn't mean we quit.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean we quit. I quoted Thomas Edison many times.
Yep.
He says he's never made a mistake in his life. He just learned 10,000 ways not to do something.
Yep.
And that is very important because, you know, we have that drive. We have that challenge. Others that trained like us have that same innate drive. We're not afraid if we fail.
Right.
It doesn't stop us. It motivates us.
Yep.
And too many people allow that to be a block. You know, we spoke earlier. I've said it. I posted it. You know, the fastest growing chronic disease is convenience and complacency.
Yeah.
Well, when,
yep.
You know, when you have that, you don't have goals.
Nope.
Because if you fail, you go, oh, well, no big deal. I'll just go on to something else.
Yep.
But for us, if we don't pick up a certain weight, if we don't move from point A to point B the way we want to, as fast as we want to, you know, we bang our heads against the sky and we say, you know what, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
So what if I didn't do it this
yep.
time?
Yep.
I'm going to keep working at it. And, you know, I've said it for years. I even said this back in my school competitive days, that athletes are very ego-driven.
Yes.
But it's not the ego in the layman's sense. It's, you know, in the therapeutic sense, meaning that we have an inner voice.
Yep.
Drives us. And we don't drive as hard as we do because we want to show off. We drive as hard as we do and challenge ourselves because we want success. We love success. But we don't linger on success. We get success. We go, cool, great. Now I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do even better. And that's another aspect of life and people, that they attain a certain level of success, and now they fear, well, there's nothing more. I've got success. Well, you become stagnant that way. And training the way we do, whether it's extreme summer training, extreme winter training, it's the challenge. We always want to take it one step further. We're never truly satisfied. Even though success tastes really sweet, mm-hmm. we're not satisfied with it. We want more. And we're going to continue that as long as we possibly can.
Yeah. It's India in a way. We've talked this before. We've talked about DNA. We don't know, you know, you're coming down from the heavens or wherever you want to say you come from. I always say, who's dumping the magic strength dust on us? Where does it all come from? And you know what? At this point, it doesn't even matter to me. What matters is most people don't find, they go through life never really finding what they want to do, who they are. They're constantly struggling for acceptance. Like I read that stuff by John Wooden before. I mean, don't you like me? What do you think of me? Well, you know what? In the world of public opinion, if that's all you're going to worry about, you're going to have a mighty unhappy life, folks. And that's why when we talk about getting outside, doing little things, spur some action into your life, get a little happiness going, be proud of what you do, all these things that really shape who you are and what you're going to be, you know, how you're brought up, how your mother and father speak to you, what kind of relationship you have with your siblings, all these things, you know, these things matter because they are forming you as a young man or a young woman. As you get older, what are you going to be like? Are you going to be happy with others? Are you going to be able to get along with others? Are you going to take a big, big chance on yourself and go out and do something magnificent? These are things that you should think of. I watched my little nephew last night, and he's amazing. You know, they're all the kids are just great athletes, and they're just smart, and they're a pleasure to be around, believe me. And I know people say, well, they're your family. Well, I've been around kids with other families that I don't want to be around, let me tell you. And Danny is starting to do, especially when he comes over here, I've got him doing all kinds of little strongman stuff, whether it's bricks, step-ups. I got a 15-inch tire with his name on it that he flips up and down my driveway and loves it, and I'm coaching him all the way down. All things that, and I never force him. I'll say, the only thing I do to him is, well, I got to go out and back and check some stones. You want to go with me? Yep. He's never said no once. Well, he's a very, if I had to guess right now, he's very, he builds stuff like you wouldn't believe. I mean, my brother-in-law's got even a little workbench down the cellar, and it's incredible to watch him work. And last night, he built a paper plane, but it literally looked like something out of a Star Trek flick. And it had all the stuff on the roof, and he had his missiles out there, and he colored them all orange and stuff, and he's flying this thing around. I'm like, he took this little idea he had and turned it into something that was relevant right there. Flying it around, creating things, but very mechanical. Very mechanical. And I love when he'll come up to me. He'll ask for a pen and paper, and he'll draw it out for me. And I'm like, this kid is 6 years old, and his mind is running wild with creativity. And this all goes in with what we're talking about here today, being creative, doing something a little bit different. We're not living in a controlled environment, meaning a gym. Maybe you got to warm up a little more. You know, you're 64 now. So what? You know what I mean? You're out there. You're relevant. You're doing things 24-year-olds are doing. Maybe you got to change the border around the picture a little bit, but so what? And this is what, you know, when I see things like with Danny and the other kids, and like we're talking about, you know, building the capacity to go out in the cold, being creative. See, that's what I draw from being an entrepreneur now that I'm doing this. I'm on my own, and I've got to answer to me. And I see the same thing with the kids. I love to watch them work or when they'll talk to you about it and they explain it. And I make them do that because I want them to be comfortable speaking to people, which they're great with. All right. So all these things, man, these shapings, you know, I talked about the conciliar as my father. All these things shape you into the man or woman you are. So when Stephen and I are talking about all the different variances here with winter training, whether we're out, whether we're eating, whether we're thinking, whatever we're doing, we're creating, we're building, we're saying, okay, this program, we want to maybe extend it or we want to make a few tweaks with it. This is where it all comes from. This borders on from when you come up through the world all the way where you are and what you're going to contribute. I said to Stephen before, are you a contributor or a taker? It's important. You need to ask yourself. I ask myself every day this question. Especially if times are going really haywire on me here during the day. I say to myself, I sit myself down and calm myself right down and say like this, why are you doing this? The day you can't answer that or your training is the time, I hate to say it, is it's time to hang it up. If you can't give a solid answer why you're doing it, why you love it, you've got a big problem. I'll go right back to you in one moment, Stephen. We talked about yesterday with Logan. I had two guys quit on me a few weeks ago, and I don't mean leave. They quit training. They gave in. In all the years I've trained people, I've never had that, and it's bothering me now. They haven't been over here for almost 3 weeks. I haven't even contacted them. I've never trained with quitters. I've had guys that didn't agree what we were doing. Maybe they didn't come anymore, or they went and did something else. That's not quitting. It's just you've changed your ideals, what you want to do. I got no problem with that, but you can tell me that up front. But I've never had the stench of quit around me. I'm coming it from my own context. And it still bothers me, and people are like, well, what do you care? I said, I do care because these are people that invested in me, and I had an awful lot invested in them. I've never had that around my gym, my home, anywhere. Very disturbing, and it's like, do you have anything to say? And they look at you like they got hit in the 15th round on the chin and got knocked the fuck out. Okay? You know, the old glass starry eye look, like I love you?
Yeah.
Well, it's not. Okay, take it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying there, Eric. And, you know, you talk about John Wooden.
Yep.
In my college days, I did my upper graduate work at UCLA.
Okay.
And, you know, I got to know him, and he was a very admirable man. Because his number one emphasis with athletes was to build integrity from within.
Yep.
And he emphasized that that would influence, that would have a positive influence on academics, and that would have a positive influence on performance on the court. And he used to say, you know what, I don't care how many points you make. I don't care how many free throws. I don't care how many, you know, defensive plays you have on the court. If you are not a man with integrity, none of those points mean anything. And I had a lot of admiration for him. You know, of course, I was not in basketball, but I was in track and field.
Right.
Back then, you know, Coach Jim Bush, one of the greatest university track and field coaches for many, many years. And all the coaches back then had that same philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Build the man or woman inside, because sports is only going to last a little bit. You're under the bright lights only for a short time. After that, you have a whole lifetime ahead of you. And if you are not a decent person, a man who respects himself or herself, you're not going to be successful later on. And you know, when you're that young, at first, you know, it doesn't quite sink in, but when you hear it and when you see it and feel the compassion that these coaches have,
mm-hmm.
or had, it made a big influence on my life, and I know several others. you know, nowadays coaches are a little bit more limited in what they could do, how they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a shame because, you know, it is all about winning. I totally get it. I mean, that's what we do. We train to win, to be first, to be better. However, there's a lack of integrity in so many of the young athletes.
Oh, yeah.
We see that. We see that all throughout sports. I don't care if it's track and field, baseball, soccer, you know, whatever. So, you know, that part of, in a sense, of manhood and womanhood has been lost in many.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's very sad to see. But to kind of put all this together, it's all about what is in us in order to go out and do that. You know, I love nothing more than to be training in extreme environments.
Yeah.
It actually opens up. It opens up the testosterone floodgates.
Yep.
You know, and when I feel that, and even at 64, I feel like I'm 24 again, and I go crazy out there. And we've talked about this, too, that I've trained by myself now.
Yep.
For many, many years. It's been almost 30 years since I had anyone who was willing to train with me.
Yep.
And it's because I have a very, very strong drive to challenge myself, to succeed, to do something, and move ahead. You know, you have it. A lot of others have it. It's not just limited to us, but it is limiting to many. And I find great pleasure in it. And, you know, we talk about this not in a sense that we are being arrogant about who we are, but in hopes to put this out there to encourage others. It's not our responsibility to inspire.
Right.
I've said for years, it's not my responsibility. However, as trainers and as leaders, we do want to encourage people. And that is very important, to set that encouragement out there, to let people know, someone like you, you're half my age, you could encourage people.
Yep.
A lot of folks my age, you don't have to sit back. You don't have to do what I do, but hey, just go out, walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You're way ahead of the game.
Yep.
It's just a matter of getting out there and understanding there's something more to life. And a lot of people, they'll start feeling better after, you know, just simple little walks. And they go, wow, this is really cool. Maybe
yeah.
Now I'll get into doing some resistance bands, and maybe I'll even start jogging a little bit. And that is the encouragement that we want to put out there. And some people will have that feeling of wanting to do something, but it has been buried for years,
decades,
because of whatever reason. You know, you can list a million reasons. We don't have time for that, but there are reasons for it. But once we open up that floodgate, it helps people realize that there is something more to life than just sitting behind the computer.
Hell yeah. And you know what else, too? It's just like, start engaging in life. Become part of life. You don't have to be in all these futuristic things, because you know what I think more than anything now? Is people, I don't think they understand their humanity anymore, if they ever did. And they're looking for all these false things, like, what was I reading one day? What could they get here? It was basically like a virtual girlfriend. What the hell is wrong with your head? Bury your head in a phone. Don't look up when I'm coming by you with groceries, because you know if you don't look, you're going to get a 301-pound guy running over you. You know what I mean? And then give me a look like, am I in your way? I'm like, holy shit! No, excuse me, whatever. You know, it's like that. I'm like, God, dog, you're on the road. Somebody just ran a light. You're up near them. What are they doing? Looking down. Well, you can bet your ass they're texting. How about engaging in life again? How about going out in that cold and engaging? And they'll be like, oh, it's too cold out. I can't do that. You'll get the old thing. I'll get frostbite. Holy shit, man. I mean, it's like, why even get off the couch then? I mean, you know, you can have virtual food delivered to you. You can have whatever you want now. You don't even have to step out of your house. I got news for you. We talk about diabetes here. You and I have talked about it before. You think it's bad now? at the rate we are going right now with the additives and food. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you, too. I know we're getting near time, but very interesting because I think you know I when I go to a conventional grocery store, which I have to at times because I shop for people, I love looking. I don't know what it is. I love looking at the bread and chip aisle all the time, right? So I was here today. I'm looking down, all right? Now, this is new, I think, because I don't remember ever seeing it. Potato chips. They're using genetically, I wish I remembered the verbiage of it. I want to say wheat or whatever. It's got a little block on it now, and it'll say that. That's number one. Then I'm going down the aisle and looking at more stuff, and contains soy. So I'm looking to see if it's soy lecithin, which I'd wish they'd get rid of totally, too. Some of the stuff, it is happening, especially over at my co-op. No, it's soy oil. And I'm like, oh, boy, there's something new there. And you know, I'm looking around at everything, and then I go look at the bread, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, soy flour, soy oil, this, that, and the other thing I'm saying. So does anybody even read these labels? This stuff, this is fairly new because I go and look at that stuff a lot. It's only been in the last month, and it's happening. Everything that is a bread and a whether those Jax or Cheetos or any of that stuff, yeah. They all have that marker on them now, and I'm like, holy God, it's bad enough you're drinking all the you know, we talk about men with estrogens, you know, between plastics and what they're adding in there, and now they're hitting everything with that, with soy and genetically modified. They don't really word it that way, but I know what it is, you know, and I'm like, holy cow. So you know, when we talk about going out in the cold, and Steven was saying stuff about manhood, I mean, I wonder why these guys don't develop. I mean, I'm talking babies, but you know something? The 40-year-old guys, their nuts went up into their sack, too. It's up in their belly, man. This is disgusting, man. And I can't see how any guy could stand here, especially if they listen to this show, and they're going to do one or two things. They're going to hear us fully out, or they're going to turn us off and say, those guys are just friggin' stupid, or they're crackpots, or they're probably all taking steroids anyways, you know, rather than listening and taking a shot on yourself and correcting some of these things if you can. That's what I look at things like now. I don't want to look at things in a negative fashion, but my God, when you're getting hit with 24-hour this, that, and the other thing 7 days a week and getting hit at lightning speed, and you're on a computer all day and night, and you're on your phone all day and night, and you're not engaging in the world, you're going to have some serious health problems, serious stuff. Maybe it doesn't get you in the 20s, but I how many people do you read about, even in their 20s and 30s, they drop dead of heart attacks like crazy now? That's not a coincidence. Yeah. That's not a coincidence. Yeah, go ahead.
And I have mentioned this to you. I've posted on Facebook that the number one issue that I have with clients that are in their late 20s into their late 30s, both men and women, hormones.
Absolutely.
We are talking major hormone issues, and it is very, very serious.
Yep.
And you know, we have a nurse who's been a nurse for over 20 years in our food club. And, you know, I have discussions with her, and she says, oh, my gosh, Stephen, I see it firsthand every day, the severity. And people just don't get it that it's diet, diet, diet. We can't do anything about the pollution in the air.
Right.
We could do something about the pollution in the water with filtration, that sort of thing. However, if we don't get our food supply straightened out, our bodies cannot combat what we are being bombarded with.
No way.
It's very, very sad. Very sad.
Well, I'm going to ask you this, and we'll, you know, you can summarize everything, but I think sure. I think we've talked about this, but I'm going to ask your opinion. Is there that much evil out in the world that this is being done purposely, or are they looking for ways to just more shelf life, they feel we did it in a laboratory, so it's better than anything that the good Lord put on the planet? Or could it be a combination of both? What's your opinion?
Well, we could certainly spend an entire podcast on that little question.
Yeah.
First of all, yes, there's a longer shelf life. The food is prettier. It's all about profit. Every okay. business.
Okay.
Good business, bad business, it's all about profit. What can we do to spend less money and make more money? Well, GMO certainly answers that. Processed food certainly fills that gap.
Yep.
On the other hand, is there a conspiracy? I'll just say real quick. You know, GMOs have been around for a long time. They were around prior to World War II. The Nazis used GMOs as a Trojan horse.
Yep.
The Bayer Corporation had developed GMOs. It was used as a Trojan horse to feed to the blacks and the Jews
yep.
in hopes that it would kill them
right.
Soon enough. Unfortunately, it didn't kill them fast enough, so they went ahead and threw them in the gas chamber.
Absolutely.
And I don't say that lightly. It's very disgusting what happened. But there was a purpose for it. And as we see this evolve over decades and what is happening now, yeah, there are definitely political ramifications. And it's not that I'm a big conspiracy theorist. But when you tie it all together and see what's happening, see what is being promoted in the political arena, what's happening to our food supply, the biotech corporations tied in with the pharmaceuticals, what is doing with corporate farming, and it's controlled worldwide.
Yep.
Is it a conspiracy? Well, in a sense, it's a conspiracy because that's what business do. Corporations work hand in hand with each other. That's a conspiracy.
Sure,
that's
yeah.
a conspiracy about business, about making money. Are there political ramifications? Are there politics in it? You get into dirty money, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, then you get into the political conspiracies, which is a different aspect of
mm-hmm.
conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep it at that.
Okay.
We'll save for another great discussion. But real quick, I do want to get a little bit into nutrition.
Okay.
For the fall winter.
Okay.
As you know, you've used my fall winter formula. You feel the effects of it.
Yep.
And it is very important, again, for those of us living in this area where we do truly have a winter. So during this time of year, from October to March, the body goes through very specific chemical and energy requirements in order to maintain optimum health. So it's like the cardiovascular system, the gallbladder, the liver, the lungs, the kidneys, and the large intestine or the colon are greatly influenced by the foods we eat and the environmental temperatures during this six-month cycle.
Right.
So, you know, to really maximize our body and to keep our immunity at a high level, we need to be very specific. That's why my fall-winter blend, you get that incredible rush because it dilates the blood vessels like crazy. All of a sudden, the top of your head starts perspiring, your ears tingle, your lungs open up. Well, all this is needed for especially for winter training.
Yep.
You need to get those blood vessels dilated. You need to get that body temperature up so you feel that perspiration on top of your head. That internal body temperature is very important to get up to a certain level and maintain it, because that's what's going to combat the ambient temperatures. So these organs that I just previously mentioned, all those play a very major role in our immunity during the cold season.
Yep.
And you know, you'll also feel your lungs opening up. The lungs, the liver, large intestine, and the gallbladder are extremely connected. So, you know, opening up your lungs, you feel it. You can actually feel those air sacs opening up, getting more oxygen in. The more oxygen you get in your lungs, the more carbon dioxide you get out of your lungs, and the more your blood vessels dilate, the faster you get blood into the lungs, absorbing more oxygen, getting it to the working muscles, and you have this whole pattern, this whole cycle going on. So that's how I developed this fall-winter formula. And, you know, you've been very pleased with it.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone that takes it, you know, they feel it. And some people totally freak out because they start sweating, their
yeah.
nose is running.
Yep.
Sometimes they start coughing up phlegm.
Yep.
I say, this is all positive. If you have phlegm, in your lungs, that means you have inflammation and you have toxins that are in the lower part of your lungs. And this stuff opens it up so you could cough it up and get it out. And when you do, again, that cycle of oxygenating the blood and carbon dioxide out works, you know, wonderfully. And generally, you know, you could take it as a pre-workout. Sometimes I go a little crazy, yeah, because I always have to be over the top with everything I do. So when I suggest that people take one teaspoon, yeah, I'll take two.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll take it, you know, one afterwards as well.
Yep.
But I go by feel. Not that I do this all the time, but I go by feel. I listen to my body. When you're aware of the symptoms and what is happening when you take this, then you could regulate yourself.
And another thing, too, it's not to interrupt, the smell of it, it's incredible.
Sure.
Wait till you smell that tea.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I always tell people it smells and tastes like pumpkin pie without the sugar in it.
It's good, man. I'll tell you, though, I've done, and you got to be careful. I sometimes like to take a big swig of it, and if that gets even – I'll tell you what, when I take that out and go to put it in a cup, be very careful, because if you get a whiff of it, you're going to sneeze. I got news for you. It's got power like you wouldn't believe. I just like taking it and just sipping it. But at times, you know, I go a little extreme too. I usually do two on a workout day, but I drink it during the week too. I always have one. I like to have one cup either in the morning or, you know, like you said, between 6 and 9 at night. It's really good because I find – I fall asleep very well when I drink it, too. It seems to have a very calming, soothing effect on my body.
Absolutely. And the reason for that is because it is working with those organs that I had mentioned.
Yep.
So those organs are not in stress. They are not going in overtime to work. They are calming, and they're able to work at full capacity. And yes, exactly what you say. A lot of people love to take a teaspoon an hour or two before they go to bed, and they sleep like a baby.
Yep.
And I've had a lot of people that have had major sleep disorders, and they started on this. They go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. This is the first time literally in years that I've been able to sleep through the night.
That's awesome.
So, I just don't like throw a bunch of stuff together and say, wow, here's fall, winter. As you know. You know, we do a lot of testing ourselves on this and a lot of lab testing, and we keep working it, and we just don't throw a little bit of this and a little bit of that in. Everything we put in is tested to see what the symbiotic relationship is.
Yep.
Because sometimes one ingredient will test very high, another one will test very high. You put them together, all of a sudden it crashes.
Yeah.
They work against each other. So I am just very, very precise about getting the right ratios, the right ingredients, and it's taken years to develop this. This isn't something that just happened overnight. As I mentioned, I was first introduced to this type of whole food process back in 1979.
Yep.
And it's taken a number of years, a number of testing to work out, and I'm very, very happy with it.
Yeah.
But again, it kind of gets to that Italian thing. I go, okay, I got it really good, but now I got to get better. In fact, I did this with the green formula since you and I have been together. I think I've reformulated it twice.
Yeah, you have.
To really get it where I want it to be.
Yep.
But it's not just limited to this. This just enhances our overall nutrition throughout the year. Much like, the killer peanut butter that you got from us.
Dude, I murdered that stuff, man. That is so good. The thing is, I love peanut butter, and I love sitting down. I'll just sit there. I might be reading something in the kitchen, and I'll just sit and take spoonful after spoonful, and people are like, aren't you worried about calorie intake? I said, damn it, I need all the calories I can get, And it's a hell of a good fat. You can't go wrong with things like that, but the whole thing, Steven, is you got to find somebody that you can get it from. That's the big problem.
Big time.
Who do you trust? I mean, it's like everything, somebody doing body work on your body or, food you're eating, do you trust the person enough where you'll do that or let them put their hands on you? I think those are questions you got to ask, but you know, we've gotten people from the show that have gotten stuff from you, and anybody I've ever talked to is more than pleased with the products and the service, and, you know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you give a lot of your time to people, and you'll answer things. You know, in today's world, order over the internet, yep, got it. Now you can't get a hold of anybody and ask them. So, you know, look, the hands-on approach is still the best approach, and customer service, I don't care what anybody tells you, is going to always carry you, because I'll tell you, the first time somebody gives me a little crap or they don't deliver or whatever, I don't go back to them. That's it. And I'll tell, I mean, think about the microphone I got here. If I talk about a product and it was no good, you know damn well I'm going to warn everybody. So, I mean,
sure,
you got to be very careful. I still think out of everything, word of mouth will kill you quicker than anything. I mean, you start moving stuff along, but no, that winter formula is fabulous, and I'll have some of that tonight for sure. You know, I don't drink the greens every day, but what I have left, I like, and I don't know if I'm doing it right or not, but I like getting up right in the morning, taking a full shot, like 10 or 12 ounces of water, and then I mix one up and drink that down. That stuff, you know, most people, oh, how's it taste? I said, it tastes great. I mean, I love stuff like that. That doesn't bother me one bit. Yeah. I mean, I could sit there with a gallon of green and a gallon of your peanut butter. I'll put a sign up, do not disturb. It's like that. But, you know, you got to have that stuff, especially with what we do. You're going to be outdoors. You need those good, you know, you need your organs to perform well. You know, how many people do we hear this, that, and the other thing from? I hope everybody listening to this show will definitely go out and they will at least contact you, and, you know, you can get some people on the bandwagon here, because there's no finer thing than putting good products in your body, and especially in the winter. The goal this year is not to even get a sniffle. So, you know, I'm hammering that stuff hard, man. So,
and I appreciate, you know, all you do for our products. And, you know, as you so clearly stated, you know, people ask, like, what does it taste like? Or, ooh, I don't want to taste it. And you say, man, it tastes awesome.
Yeah.
Again, it gets back to, because it is a real food. It's not a supplement.
Yeah.
It's not man-made. And people don't know what real food tastes like anymore.
No.
They have lost that ability to taste real food.
Yep.
So, yeah, when you taste it, you take that hit in the morning, you know, you're totally jacked. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
And just like our peanut butter, you've never tasted any peanut butter like this
never,
before.
Never, you know? Never.
And we have worked this. Obviously, this just isn't any old peanut butter. You know, I have worked for a long time to take it through our multiple steps to get all the junk out of it. See, a lot of people think, oh, well, I soak my walnuts, and I soak my almonds, and I soak my peanuts. You know what? What people don't realize is, at the very best, on a good day, you might get 80% of the junk out.
Yeah.
But usually it's anywhere from maybe 50% to 60%. Well, you still have the worst of it still in there. Well, what I have developed over the years, I get to that next point. And so you are really eating a pure peanut with all the junk out of it. And then, of course, you know, this latest one, it had an additional 56 grams.
Yeah, of protein. Woohoo! Yeah, that's called gainers for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, you take one tablespoon of that, and, man, that's like going to outbeat any protein supplement powder out there on the market.
Oh, yeah. Hell, and it tastes so much better. Are you kidding me? You know, look, it's a whole food, like you talked about from beginning to end here. Everything's a whole food. If you're not eating whole foods, you're really gypping yourself of a lot of good things. And the whole point of this show, besides preparing for outdoors, the food, the outerwear, all that, if you're out beating the hell out of yourself, you better have some good sustenance when you get in, and for the next few days. Well, you should be doing it every day, but I just know for me, when you're out there in the cold, you're lifting heavy stones, usually I don't tire of eating at all, and I'm talking large amounts of eating for 3 days, because I just can't. I'm expending so much stuff here between the show and the business and then going outside and working out that, you know, my mind, you know, people laugh when I say it, but I'm telling you, I sit here some days and my mind is starving too, literally. I mean, my mind, well, it's sending signals all over the place. When you going to feed me, man? What's the matter here? How come we're not eating? I have had my mind literally remind me at times is we're not going to gain if you don't keep eating. And I'm not kidding you. It'll say that to me. Whether I've orchestrated that or not, I couldn't tell you. But I'm getting all these signals, these you know, like announcements through my head saying, better go eat. You got to finish this thing up. You better go eat. So, you know, it's all there. That's what it's all about. Steven, you got anything else to add, sir?
Yeah, just to real quickly elaborate on what you're saying, that mind-body connection.
Yep.
Okay. Our primitive indigenous culture, they didn't have all this science.
No.
Out here. But, you know, if they were calcium deficient, they knew it, they felt it, something wasn't right, and instinctively they would eat the ectoskeletons of insects.
Yep.
To get their calcium dose. And that's something that we have lost. We've been so brainwashed by the supplement industry that you got to take this, you got to do this. You know, if you don't take your whey protein 17 minutes, 43.6 seconds after your workout, forget it. You're going to go into a catabolic state.
Yep.
Well, you know, forget that. Our body is way too advanced for that kind of junk. But we have lost the ability to instinctively choose our foods and listen to what our body needs. And I am so amazed at how people, the only thing they could really connect to is sugar.
Yeah.
Yep. You know?
Yeah.
It's sugar. And they don't realize that the body is screaming out for all these other nutrients. But to really get that mind-body connection going, it's amazing what it'll do. Because you eat what your body needs. You know, one day my nutritional intake is totally different than the following day. Like yesterday, it was a pretty heavy duty workout. So it was very protein driven. So yeah, I drank a dozen raw eggs.
Yep.
You know, I had four glasses of the raw milk. I ate 8 ounces of raw butter that we made.
Wow.
And it satisfies the needs. Now, today is not a workout day. I don't need the protein.
Right.
So I will take maybe I'll take 30 grams max the whole day.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. And people think, well, wait a second, man, you're supposed to be taking, the formula is this plus this, body weight, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, instinctively. Go with how you train. Go with
Bingo.
What your body's going for.
Yep.
And now also, I always remind people, I'm 64 years old.
Yep.
Even though I think my diet is 100% on, my metabolism is still not going to metabolize protein the way it did when I was 24. So, you know, I have to take those things into consideration. And everyone, as we mature through the years, we need to take that into consideration. We're going to use carbohydrates different. We're going to use essential fats different, protein different, nutrients different. So we really have to be in tune, instinctively eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to eating seasonally.
Mm-hmm.
So I could wrap it up with that. You know,
give out all your information. I want people to be able to get a hold of you. Everything, Steven, and then I'll, you know, hang on. I'll give mine out after you're done.
Sure. Facebook is steven.santangelo.75. Steven is S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Santangelo, S-A-N-T-A-N-G-E-L-O.75. Or you could email me at primalcreations@AOL.com. That's primalcreations@AOL.com. And you could tell that we've been in business for a long time because I think we are the last dinosaur to have an AOL.com address. But we got this in the very beginning, and we're sticking with it. You could even Skype me if you want. I enjoy talking with people. I love that one-on-one. I'm still old school when it comes to that. So Skype is steven.santangelo52. So those are three good contacts, but Facebook and email, definitely get a hold of me. I will give you as much data as possible, talk to you, help educate you as much as possible on my products. I have fun with that, and that's the kind of encouragement I like to put out there.
Awesome. It's good stuff. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Obviously, as everyone knows, go out to motivationmuscle.com. Get the two free ebooks out there. Just sign up, join our family. You won't be sorry. Very simple, basic, but they work. That's all that matters. Also, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, go out and just look at all the shows Stephen and I have done. And we'll be adding a new one to it very shortly. Let's see. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten from everybody. We're on multiple directories now that we're a streaming internet radio show. But I'll give you a few. Google Play, Music, TuneIn, Shoutcast, and Aha for your car to get podcasting into your vehicle. This is only with new vehicles. If there's a show you'd like Stephen and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of anything that's going to get them motivated. Motivate people. 5 words will change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift today, lift it, bend it, break it, push it, squat it, pull it. Whatever you have to do, do it and do it well. And if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We don't clear cut. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who is a guest on the show, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 28 years, my friend. Also, too, I've had people say to me, your shows have been so wild, I swear my speakers vibrate when you're talking. I was like, good. Hopefully they're going to make you do something, too. Let them vibrate. There's nothing better than real sound. Also, Frank Klein, my greatest marketing college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who was very instrumental behind me with the business. We lost him 2 years to cancer. And he was like a father to me. My father passed away long before John. He said 2 words to every patient he walked to the door: keep smiling. I dare you say keep smiling and not smile. Thank you, John. Thank you, Dad. Thanks a lot, Frank. We will see you again. It's going to be a while. And as I say to everybody, there's going to be a day I'll see Jimmy standing on his own 2 legs. I die for that. Soon, another 100 years, I'll see you all. But in the meantime, I appreciate every one of you. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming. We're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the thing straight through. Be a part of our family. Join this revolution. It's getting bigger and bigger. And with people like Stephen, and we've had Gareth Denyer on today and Mackenzie Bennett, and on it goes. We have the best, and you are going to see the best and the better and the better and the better just keep growing. So I appreciate everybody with the show, all our family. I thank you all because I couldn't be anything without you. Stephen, thanks for being on. Much appreciated.
Yes, and thank you.
You are welcome, sir.
Day, and I would never run out of joy doing it.
You never will, and you're always welcome here, and I'm with you. I love what I do. I love what I do, and I'll say that to the day I can't say it anymore. I'm a very blessed guy, both physically, mentally, and being able to speak like this. I don't take it for granted, and I can't say it enough. So we'll have Stephen on. I don't know what we're going to be doing next month, but if not, we'll have him on the first of the year or whatever his schedule dictates because he's a busy man too. So everybody, you have greatness, like I said, but one more thing we say. We believe in your greatness. It's all there. Take advantage of it. If you need any help, Steven put out how you can get a hold of him. You can get a hold of me. Anybody on the show, we're more than willing to lend an ear to you if you need to talk. So thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. And this show will be up within the next 4 to 5 days, I promise. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.